Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
Who likes the passing game? An attorney who enjoys play action more than class action. And he loves to watch Chiefs game tape for hours and hours and hours. He's Seth Kaiser of The Athletic on the program.
Yes, indeed. Does a great job covering the Kansas City Chiefs for The Athletic. His film breakdowns are legendary. His writing is outstanding as well. As clearly no games to break down right now, Seth Kaiser, brought to you by our friends at Big O Tires. You got a Big O no with your car? Get a Big O yes with Big O Tires. Go to BigOTires.com to find the location nearest you. 16 around the metro, you can find them at BigOTires.com. ASC certified technicians on every brand of car. Nationwide warranty on all the work they do. Right now they've got their buy three, get one free on select in-stock tires with installation purchase. Also up to $150 in savings on a set of four select tires when using your Big O Tires credit card after mail-in rebate. Check it out. Go to BigOTires.com to find the location nearest you. All the work that you need to be done. Even oil change. It's got a great $18.99 conventional oil change special going on right now. Yes, they are open, keeping your car running so that you can, one, get to work if you are an essential business, or two, get to the grocery store or the hospital if you've got an emergency or whatever. Keeping your car running is essential, and Big O Tires is open. They can help you keep that car running and, of course, keep great tires on your vehicle as well. Check them out online at BigOTires.com. Seth Kaiser, welcome to the Sprint Guest Line. How are you, Seth?
I'm doing really well. How about yourself?
I have absolutely no complaints other than we don't have sports, you know? Just that's it.
Sure.
That's all I've got.
It's a weird world we're living in. I tell people every day that, you know, I'm very glad and grateful that the NFL, with, you know, certain measures in mind, you know, obviously doing things remotely, has kept their off-season schedule, because otherwise there would be just nothing to talk about outside of like Tiger King or whatever.
It's true. It would be much harder. That's, you know, and I feel bad for the other leagues because, you know, we were talking to Peter Vermees, manager and sporting director for Sporting Kansas City. He, you know, I said, listen, you know, the NFL's at least got their off season. Like, you can't even really go scout guys. And he's like, no, because we'd want the latest tape, and we don't have the latest tape, right? It's the games everybody's going to play forward. Like, you can't go out and make moves and trades and sign guys and do that. They, like, you literally are just on pause. Same thing for the NBA. Right. Same thing for the NHL. Same thing for Major League Baseball. You know, it sucks. Every other sport is on pause. At least the NFL is able to conduct business and keep going. And so I'm with you. I appreciate their free agency and trades and draft talk and everything that's going on. We'll get to that maybe in a little bit. Let's start, though, with the piece you wrote, a great piece called The Chris Jones Contract Conversation, Myths versus Reality. And it's broken down into several parts. Part one, myth. Jones is a good but inconsistent pass rusher. And you give what is the reality on it. Part two, myth. Jones is a poor run defender and a liability in that respect, and you give the breakdown on that. Number three, myth, the Chiefs can't afford Jones because they have no salary cap space. And then you give the reality on that. And then the final one, right, the fourth one is myth, Jones is injury prone. My first question is, who is perpetrating the myth like Chris Jones isn't that good? Is there still a lot of people that you're finding that you have to tell, hey, Chris Jones is really good, Chris Jones gets after the passer, hey, Chris Jones was a lot better against the run this year than he's ever been before? Are there still people you're having to sell that to?
I wouldn't think so, would you? But, you know, for me, a lot of where I get some of the ideas for the things that I write about is obviously things that are important to the Chiefs currently. But also, I try to be as responsive as I can be on social media with my Twitter following and all that stuff. And obviously, that's not going to be an entirely representative population of people. But basically, what was happening was anytime I would talk about the Chris Jones contract situation, I would have way more replies than you'd think of people telling me, well, you know, the thing with Jones is, you know, he's streaky. He's a streaky pass rusher. That was a term I heard a lot. And most people have gotten to the point, okay, they believe Jones is a really good pass rusher, but they can't seem to accept the fact that he's not just really good, he's elite. He is in Aaron Donald's company as a pass rusher. It's him and Jones from the interior, and that's it. DeForest Buckner isn't on his level. Fletcher Cox isn't on his level. Grady Jarrett isn't on his level. No one is. It's him and Donald. Is Donald a little better? Probably, yeah. But in terms of that, it's really hard to sell people just how great he's been as a pass rusher for two consecutive years and how he was very, very good before that. And so that was kind of the easiest one you knock out of the park first. That one isn't too bad. It's the run defense one where I've just had a heck of a time. I'm told, well, sure, he's a great pass rusher, but he's bad against the run. And that, I'm not sure where that started or how it started, but it's become very common among the fan base to believe that Jones is a liability in that area.
I would object a little bit to saying it's him and Aaron Donald and then the rest when it comes to the pass rushing. And I think even the metric that you put up there, the math curve you put up there, I mean, he's as close to the guy behind him as he is Donald, right? So if you want to say he's way up there, he's as far back from Donald as the next guy is from him. So I don't think it's those two guys necessarily, you know, arm in arm. I think there's a definitive step up to Aaron Donald. The amount of double teams with you know, for Donald is more. But I'm not going to argue that point a whole lot. I think Chris Jones is tremendous, right? I think he's a great player. The part where this is where you and I think always diverge. The part that I don't agree with in your piece and that I'd like to dig a little bit deeper on is the myth the Chiefs can't afford Jones because they have no salary cap space. Because I have nothing but positives overall to say, and unless you consider it a negative when I say he's not Aaron Donald. But otherwise, I have nothing but positives. And I do, like, to me, that's like, you know, right, saying a hot gal's not, you know, I don't know, Miss America, right? Well, she can still be
right,
hot.
Right. Or someone's not Patrick Mahomes. I mean,
exactly.
Aaron Donald is it for defensive
yes.
players. So
yes.
I get that. That's no insult at all.
I do love how you said, listen, the NFL salary cap is a tough egg to crack, and I agree with that wholeheartedly. I do everything I can to at least make some scrambled eggs out of the salary cap, but it ain't easy, right? It is hard because, like right now, and I've talked about it a lot, here of late, that, listen, over the cap and Spotrac can't get on the same page numbers-wise,
right.
And I know there's a healthy rivalry between those two sites as well, but they can't get on the same page. And the Chiefs continue to make moves while they show them before those moves are made already being over the cap.
Yeah.
And that would not be allowed.
Right.
So we know there's information that we're not all getting on the cap. So that does make it a really tough egg to crack. But I do you really think that there's as much cap space? And I read your piece, you being the GM, and how you would do it. You know, when I look at it's not just 20. Don't you think that part of the reason why, if the Chiefs do eject on him, is it's 21's cap, right? I think that's the part that I don't know is serviced in your piece as to it's a little bit more dire than I think you let on with their cap. Because, you know, people tell me, well, they've only got 100, you know, you go to Spotrac, for example. They've only got 141, you know, 140 million under the cap, and the cap's already at 240, so they've got more than 100 million to spend. Nowhere does anybody mention that, yeah, that doesn't even have Patrick Mahomes on it. It has only Chad Henne at quarterback. It has only Darwin
right.
Thompson at running back. It has only Charvarius Ward at corner, the only cornerback on it. I mean, it literally is like 20-odd guys, right? It's
right.
not even half a roster, and yet you're well past half of what the cap, I believe, will be. They went, and then throw on that's where – and then throw the next year – into it, and Mahomes' number becomes big. It's the third year of Mahomes' contract. That's going to be really big if they're just trying to backload it as much as possible. That part is a real concern that we as fans, and oftentimes we, you and I as analysts, don't dig that far back, but they've got a board charting all those numbers, and they've got to be leery of not being buried when 21 or 22 come about.
Sure. And so I did address 21 briefly in the piece, just talking about the amount of space, but you make a really great point regarding, you know, you've only got, you know, 20, 25 guys signed or 30, however many it is, right? Not even close to a full roster. The thing I'd point out is the vast majority of guys that fill out a roster are going to be guys that cost you between $1 and $3 million a year, if that. And so that's part of that, you know, just filling in the gaps, guys. Those guys are going to be cheap, by and large. Now, you do, like, you address cornerback, right? That's definitely an issue. And so it basically is going to come down to a choice. They can pay Jones. They absolutely can. They can pay him and Mahomes, especially if the cap increases. And this is one of the things that I kind of ended up on a rabbit trail. If you go back and you look at the NFL salary cap over the years, you can find the times when they've signed a new TV deal. You can find those times because the cap suddenly just jumps and jumps and jumps and jumps all like 3 or 4 years in a row, right? And that's what's interesting about this particular time, because they're about to have that happen again. What's interesting about this particular time is they've already been jumping and jumping and jumping and jumping. And so there's a very real potential for exponential growth in the salary cap, like something we haven't seen before, that I would maybe compare to like the NBA in the mid to early 90s, where, you know, all of a sudden Michael Jordan wasn't the highest paid player in the league because contracts exploded, right? And so that's one answer to that is I don't think we understand quite yet just how crazy it's going to get in terms of new TV deals. Some of the estimates out there, you know, that they might add an extra billion with a B onto some of these deals. And with the new CBA in place, that's all going to matter. And so there's always room to make these moves. And I'm glad you talked about, so the Chiefs are shown to have, you know, no cap space. One of the funniest things I saw is they got listed with $177 in cap space. And the number of people that replied to that, well, they're really looking for that stimulus check. It just made my day. It was so great. But the fact that they were able to make moves despite that shows how flexible the situation is. The salary cap is all about structure. And the story that I always go back to for people, and it's a few years ago now, so maybe some people won't even remember, when Jarius Byrd was considered the best free safety in the league when he was with the Buffalo Bills, he became an unrestricted free agent, and there was a huge market for him. And there was a bunch of talk about what team he might sign with. And he ended up signing with the New Orleans Saints, and no one saw it coming because the Saints had like $1 million in cap space. And they ended up being able to do it. And the Saints to this day are still signing people that everyone's saying, how are they doing this? And people keep saying, well, they're going to pay the piper eventually. And so far, they really haven't. And so it doesn't come about how much you spend. It's about who you spend it on. Now, if you spend it on guys who are bad or mediocre, then eventually you're going to have problems. Like, say, the Vikings, the biggest problem they had wasn't that they paid Xavier Rhodes. It's that his play fell off a cliff. Things like that. And so in terms of the money that's available, my counter to that is the money's certainly there. Even with the numbers you're using, the money's certainly there. It's just a matter of what choices are you going to make. Do you view him as a cornerstone, or do you think it's more important to pay a cornerback larger money? Things like that. I know, like, Eric Eager, I know, comes on with you, and he is gung-ho for corners because of the various analytics that demonstrate that that's superior. So it's not necessarily about whether you're going to pay someone big money. They're going to. It's about who they're going to pay it to.
Agreed. We're talking to Seth Kaiser here in the program. Listen, I am completely open to the stars and Jags approach. And I think even free agency somewhat is saying, I mean, I know baseball's gone that direction of like mega contracts and then 1 year deals, right? There's only a handful of guys that get them. And I'm not so sure that that isn't where the NFL is going. But well, let me back up first on the TV deal. Even in the piece, you say, as soon as the end of 22, at the end of 22, you will be 3 years into a contract extension or into a new long-term contract for Chris Jones. Like when that big jump, when that big TV contract comes in, you're going to be basically done with Chris Jones. We know, at best, every contract that's signed today is no more than 4 years, right? In reality, they're three with maybe a fairly tough penalty to swallow in the fourth year, and then after four, you're in a position where you can walk away. So that big spike that you're talking about doesn't kick in on Chris Jones until you're at the very end of what is the likely life of the deal you're about to sign. Do you agree with that?
Right, years 4 and 5, right? And right. So if you end up with years 4 and 5, those are the years you can swell up. And let's face it, those years, I'm glad you referred to them kind of the way you did. They're largely pretend numbers. They're fictitious.
Right.
The only thing that matters is the guarantees. And so all you really have to do is make the guaranteed money not kill you for the first couple of years, the first 2 or 3 years. Get yourself an out if you absolutely need it after 3 years, to where even if it's a tough pill to swallow, the way you phrase it, you can do it. Because even if you look at like the way Clark's contract is structured, after 3 years, if they had to, they could move on. But he signed for another 2 years. So then those last 2 years are where you can balloon up contracts, because now the 30% rule is no longer in play. And you can balloon that up to, yeah, sure, $25 million a year, $27 million a year, whatever you want to do with that in terms of getting it to that per year. Now, agents know that that's phony numbers, right? And players know that too. But it still matters in terms of average per year. And what I mean when I'm referencing this stuff, yes, it might not kick in. Now, that's assuming they don't sign a new TV deal until right as their old one's expiring. I don't think that's how NFL owners do business. I think they're going to...
No, I think they'll get it done, but it won't take effect. They'll get it done, Seth. Sure. Sorry to interrupt you. They'll get it done, but it won't take effect until this one's over.
Oh, absolutely. And so they've got another year or two left on that. I think it's two. So then it takes effect in the third year, and so you're able to still structure contracts around that. I think that's part of why Patrick Mahomes' deal isn't done, because if his agent's worth his salt, he's probably telling him, look, man, yeah, it might be good to wait for a minute, because that contract's going to be insane no matter what.
Well, and I think that's what we're also finding out for him and for Chris Jones and for the league. And right now, we can talk about the cap going up, and we're all planning on the NFL starting on time. But if they start missing games, they start missing checks from TVs, and that changes the cap entirely. That's something. And with talk, not to get into the COVID, because we try to be the place where people can come to take a break from that. Important stuff. Other people who are qualified to cover it are covering it. We talk about the salary cap. But that is something that's looming, right? I've said all along, and we'll double back to Chris Jones here in a minute. I've said all along on the Patrick Mahomes thing, it's why I really wish Dak Prescott would hurry up and sign a deal, and sign a deal just like Jared Goff's, because I want to see 6 years locked in on Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. And if Dak Prescott doesn't, and he just signs this three fully guaranteed so he can get back out there and take another bite of the free agent apple under the new television contract, that scares me that that's going to be the new norm, and Patrick Mahomes is going to want to do that.
I think Kirk Cousins messed with things when he did that.
Sure. Sure, he did. Now, listen, you can get more, you know, it's going to be up to the Chiefs to guarantee more, to incentivize him to get to six. I also think the way that both the Patriots and Tom Brady beat the system, one, everybody thinking Brady took all this money less, which he really didn't, was constantly tearing up and renegotiating his deal every 2 or 3 years and giving him a fat signing bonus. So he put the cash in the bank. The salary number didn't seem as big, but in reality, he was still banking the same amount of money. That's the plan that I hope the Chiefs get to employ. But if Dak Prescott resets how quarterbacks work and every 3 years, you know, we're going to be paying full guaranteed money for 3 and 4 years, then there's going to be no way to rip it up and get out from under it. Right, that's going to make it a lot harder to play that salary cap game. But don't you think this environment right now, where every other sports league in America is shut down, has got to be scary to everybody involved, the television networks, the teams, particularly the teams, because they're not paying for games that aren't going to be played. And with the threat of yet, you know, people saying another spike still to come, that's a real threat to the NFL, and that's a real threat to the bottom line, and that's where just throwing money around and saying, well, let's eat up to the cap right to the brink starts to get a little bit scary. I get it, they're not going to pay the players either, but it's a complete unknown that has to scare every team out there.
It's definitely an unknown, but the thing about an unknown is you don't know what effect it'll have. And so for me, extrapolating one way or another that it might go, that's not the way I would do business. Because,
well, we know, but we're watching other leagues deal with it. We know that part. That's now a known, that leagues in America can and will shut down in the wake of a pandemic, one that they're talk of another spike. I don't want to get bogged down too much on that one because I just think that's another thing that's looming out there that has to scare teams. And how would it affect the NFL, what they would do, neither one of us really knows, right? So we don't need to spend too much time speculating on it. But
that's what I mean in terms of the unknown. We don't know what the league would do in terms of, you know, it seems unlikely they would penalize teams or somehow alter the salary cap post ad hoc, right? You can't tear up contracts like that. So my guess is, based on the way, you know, everything else is generally handled, they would try to be as creative as everyone else has in terms of what you do with contracts. So for me, as long as the salary cap says what it currently says, you have to act with the current cap in mind. And you have to act in mind as though, well, if something freakish happens, they'll do something weird, like everyone else has had to do. And so that's why it doesn't press on my mind too much. But you're right, there's a lot of unknowns there.
Tell me why Chris Jones' contract and making him the highest or even second highest paid. I think he'll be going for the highest. I think the DeForest Buckner contract really hurt the chances of the Chiefs re-signing him, because I think they had a leg to stand on and say, listen, you're not Aaron Donald, so we're not going to pay you $22.5 million per year.
Right.
But when Buckner gets $21.5 million or $21 million, he's got a right to ask for more than Buckner. So the Buckner contract hurt the chances of the Chiefs re-signing him, I think, and maybe the chances of him trading him, which we'll get to in a minute. So the number we know is going to be giant for Chris Jones, no matter where they end up going. But why is signing Chris Jones to what may be the highest paid, and he's got a leg to stand on to ask for it, highest paid defensive contract ever, why should we think it'll end differently than Justin Houston and Eric Berry, who were both considered the best at their position, got the highest paid contracts at their positions, and clearly they were massive disappointments compared to the dollars? Why is this one that the Chiefs should sign on for? And I'll say, and I'll add to, instead of keeping the cap space, signing two or three players, trading them for a couple of picks, maybe ending up with anywhere from 3 to 5 players, one or two of them highly thought of in this draft or future drafts, and maybe more when you see the Diggs deal. I mean, you could do more lower picks. Why is it a safer bet to throw all that money and all that cap space into one guy as opposed to parceling it out over 5 guys and taking a chance on 5 younger guys being healthy?
I would. I always go back to the Boater mystery box analogy that I think we've talked about before. You know, the Peter Griffin on Family Guy thing. They get offered, they win a boat. He says, or you can have the mystery box. And of course, Lois says, well, we're going to take the money. He says, well, hold on. You know, a boat is a boat, but a mystery box could be anything. It could even be a boat. And so here's what I would say. People who tend to view draft picks in a way that is non-realistic this time of year, they also tend to view free agent signings in a way that is non-realistic this time of year. The idea that the Chiefs are going to sign 2 or 3 mid-level free agents that will actually be really good players with the money they save on Jones, I don't think you're going to really look around the league and find a lot of really high-quality players who are playing for $8 million a year. That kind of mid-level exception, whatever you want to call it, that middle class doesn't really exist in the NFL. You're either overpaying for free agents who have a proven track record, or you're taking flyers on guys that teams are unsure of. And you can already afford to take flyers on guys teams are unsure of. And if you're not in favor of overpaying Chris Jones, then you certainly shouldn't be overpaying a inferior player. So that's my answer to the free agency stuff, is I think people view that a little bit unrealistically as to what you do with the cap space. It sounds great in theory. In practice, you rarely see it play out that way. In terms of the draft, it's definitely valuable to have young, good players. The problem is the draft is the mystery box. If you go back and look at virtually every team's draft history, you're not necessarily throwing mud at the wall, but you have just as many failures as successes. And if you're going to define success as being a player that's even 80% of what Chris Jones currently is, it's a massive failure rate. The vast majority of first-round picks don't become remotely as good as Chris Jones. And so then you have to ask yourself, well, so what we're hoping for is that we get somehow very lucky and draft three guys, let's say, and all three of them turn out to be 80% as good as Chris Jones, then, you know, maybe you're cooking with gas there. But any other result, and you've got a worse team on the field.
So
unless you catch lightning in a bottle.
Right. So, but why is it such a certainty that he's going to play at this level moving forward? That's why I point out Justin Houston and Eric Berry's injuries. And I was not for the Justin Houston signing of the contract, and it pissed everybody off. And so it's not shocking that I'm not saying, look, blank check for Chris Jones, whatever it takes, and everyone's pissed again. Although it sounds like some people are pissed at you. Maybe I've converted some, and those are the ones you're getting ranked by on Twitter. But my point is this, like, right, I gave the numbers. I laid out some sack numbers. I said, if Justin Houston does this here moving forward, will you be happy with the contract? And everybody across the board said no. And then I revealed that those were the numbers that Derek Thomas put up after his 20-sack season. I said, right. So if he is Derek Thomas moving forward from his 20-sack season, because Houston was coming off a 22-sack season, you're not going right. to be happy. So do you really think Justin Houston is going to be better than Derek Thomas? I rattled those same numbers off for Chris Jones. I said, you signed him to an Aaron Donald deal. Didn't say who it was. And I said, if he puts up these numbers, are you going to be content with the Chris Jones contract? And it was not as severe, because Chris Jones hasn't been as good, frankly, as Derek Thomas. But it was still universally, no, they were not going to be content with the contract. So, mm-hmm. I when you say we know what you've got, you don't. Two more years of Chris Jones with NFL wear and tear on him. And I agree with you, he's not an injury-prone player, but NFL players are all pitchers. They're all going to get hurt. If they keep playing, they're going to get hurt. And while he's not an injury-prone player, he's not a guy that has been injury-free. You know, they all get hurt.
But that's, you know, sort of a darned if you do, darned if you don't thing, though. Because if he had been injury-free, then we could be arguing, well, the odds say that he will be injured now. So really, no matter what, you could argue that that's a sign that he will get hurt, right?
Well,
and all
right,
the same things.
Coupled with the fact that the best sack seasons, which mm-hmm. I agree is not the only way and not the best way to measure pressures, sure. but it's the most universally used. The best sack seasons come in a player's first contract.
I have no idea whether that's true or not. I do know that I'm sure it probably is, but in terms of, I don't really care how many sacks Chris Jones gets next year. I don't. It's not only not the best way, it's a god-awful way of measuring.
Yeah, but you know what my point is. My point is that the best sure. football played by a football player almost entirely across the board, except for the quarterback position and maybe kickers, is their first 5 years in the league. Like where I said, listen, I'm open to the concept of stars and Jags, only stars. Sure. Pick me 6, 7, 8, which you could say it's Schwartz, it's Fisher. That's a stretch, but fine. It's Fisher. I mean, he's good. He's very good. I want him over, yeah. you know, just somebody else. I definitely want somebody really good at left tackle. I don't want a Jag. But it's those two. It's Tyreek Hill, obviously Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Tyrann Mathieu, and Chris Jones, and then we're going Jags across the board. Draft picks and Jags. Listen, I am open to that working. But you know what I'm also open to working? The quarterback and all first contract guys. Right? Or one-year deals. Right? I'm also open sure. to that being a real theory. Because the history is that across the board in the NFL, you're running a risk. Every year you're in the league, you get riskier and riskier and riskier. So why would you pay more? Listen, Chris Jones is a massive part of why they won the Super Bowl. Chris Jones at $2 million is a massive part of why they won the Super Bowl. You know, if you look at what the biggest defensive contracts are, they're not generally playing for the Super Bowl champion.
Well, right, but I mean, had the Bears not been idiots and taken Patrick Mahomes instead of Mitch Trubisky, people would be calling them geniuses for drafting stealing Mac.
But they have their guy in Frank Clark, and that's my last point I would make to you is, because I know you're going to write a piece defending and promoting Frank Clark, which I'm looking forward to. Something to check out The Athletic for Seth, because I love your "I told you so" thing you tweeted out. But like, don't you want to be in a position to grab the next Frank Clark? Like, you mentioned the proven commodities, right? If you draft Chris Jones and that's going to put you to where you're never in the top end free agent market, then you're never going to get a shot at Frank Clark.
Right, but you don't need it because you've already got the guy in-house who's just as productive and just as dominant. The difference between Clark and Jones when Clark is healthy, Clark is more consistent. Jones dominates more. And we saw that down the stretch. And I mean, like, people can talk about the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl, and I certainly have plenty. But you also, if you go back and look at, like, the first field goal that the Tennessee Titans were forced to kick, that was Chris Jones. They're three and out prior to the second half, the first half ending, that allowed the Chiefs to march down and score and take control of the game. Three straight plays, Chris Jones, two runs and a pass. He takes over games. He took over swaths of various games throughout the season. Without those moments, you don't win them. And so what I would say is, you know, Frank Clark, you got to remember, they had to trade for him. They had to give up assets in addition to a massive deal. Whereas when you already have that guy in-house, you don't have to give up assets for him. You've already got him. So then it's just a question of whether or not you agree with massive deals in general. And if you don't, I totally get that. I would say, with regards to circle back to the risk factor, there's many, many, many more first-year contract players who stink than don't. And so one could argue that first-year contracts are an incredible risk as well. Either way, you're running a risk.
Yes.
And that's the problem is, you know, you got guys who get hurt their rookie seasons and never recover. You know, the Barry and Houston things definitely soured people on big contracts. I think some of the other ones they've done have worked out a little bit better. You can never plan for the unplannable. And I personally think that it's more conservative to stick with known quantities, because no matter how much you're afraid of injury, which is relatively equivalent for players, relatively at least, no matter how afraid you are of that, Jones is always going to be an exponentially more known quantity than any rookie you could bring in, because the history is obviously littered with guys that got paid and then weren't as good, but it's far more littered with young guys who busted out of the league. And so I think it's just a matter of general preference. Big contracts don't really bug me. Third contracts usually do. Second contracts, it just depends on the player.
Yeah, no, and I agree with you on that. We're talking to Seth Kizer. Great stuff. Always love talking to him. Such a thoughtful guy. Does a great job writing for The Athletic, and his film breakdowns are phenomenal. Time for our Final Four, brought to you by the Kansas City Orthopedic Institute. You can learn more about their ortho urgent care that's open 7 days a week by visiting kcoi.com or by calling 913-319-7633. I will start you with this. Simply put, is Chris Jones a Chief in 2020? On the field, playing for the Kansas City Chiefs in 2020, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. What are you binge-watching? We're all being asked to spend more time at home. Is there some show or something you've picked up watching more of?
I'm watching two things. I tend to wind down once everyone's in bed. I try to wind down and watch TV. I'm watching Fear the Walking Dead, which I'd never watched before. And then when I'm ready to actually try to go to sleep, I'm rewatching Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Very different tones there.
That is by far the most eclectic combo I've heard so far since I started asking this question a week or so ago. Love it. All right, does the seventh playoff team help or hurt the Kansas City Chiefs right now?
You know, I don't really care about adding the seventh. I care about what happens at the top end, right? Only one bye week is a bummer. And that I think hurts the Chiefs. I think the seventh playoff team is great news for the Chiefs 3 years ago, right? Where they were a playoff competitor, kind of fringy at times, but a pretty strong team that you knew would probably make the playoffs. That helps them. When you're the team that's competing to be the top seed every year, and I think they are with Mahomes and Reed, that hurts you because now there's only one. And obviously it would have made their path to the Super Bowl look very different this last year.
If they can be the one more than they're the two, then it will help them, correct? And if the three,
yes.
Four, five, six, seven, doesn't matter. And if they get in as a seven, like I pose, like, hey, maybe Mahomes misses four games and you go 9-7 and you grab it as the seventh seed. Now you're in the tournament with Mahomes. You know, the team gets hot. You can win a championship with Mahomes
right.
From the seventh seed. But in reality, all that has to happen is they have to be the one more than the two, not the three or the four or the five. The only thing that changed is the two. So if they're the one more than they're the two, it actually helps them.
Well, because then they're the only team that does it. And so
yes.
I could be persuaded of that. I do
okay.
like that. And
okay.
I do like the idea of just barely making it in if Mahomes gets injured.
Yeah, I could see a scenario where something like that happens. All right, and finally, draft at the scheduled date or push it back? Which would you be in favor of?
I think they're just crazy enough to pull it off. I think they're going to do it at the scheduled date because primarily.
But what are you for?
I'm for them doing it at the scheduled date, doing the whole thing online. Me personally, I want them to do it like a fantasy draft and have the GMs, you know, writing comments. Now they'll never do that, but I think 100 million people would watch that, and I think that's why the NFL will ultimately have the draft remotely somehow, because the dollar is eternal. And they are going to say, wait, everyone in America is stuck at home? This is going to draw more eyeballs than any draft in history, and I think that's why they do it.
Yes, and we as football fans and Americans, we need it. We need the release draft on time. Please do it for us, the fans. Seth, you're the man. I love talking to you. Love talking to you when sometimes we kind of disagree the most, because you're such a thoughtful guy. You make me think. So thanks so much for coming on, buddy. Keep up the great work. We'll talk to you again soon.
That sounds great, man. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Seth Kizer from The Athletic. Jed's freaking out. We're late, so we'll break. We'll talk some more. We'll react to some of the comments of Seth Kizer coming up next here in the program.
The Program with Soren Petro.
He likes the way I talk, and I like the way he talks. Mm-hmm.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the good sense into the hour answer. Tom Brady, the ninth player to wear number 12 for the Buccaneers. Who was the first?
You got this. That one for me was easy, but I'm old. Doug Williams, right? Yep. Grambling University.
1978 to 1982.
Yeah, Doug Williams, one of my favorite players when I was a kid. Always loved those Bucs uniforms, the creamsicles. Were absolutely fantastic, so always loved it. GoodSenseSubs.com. Order online, pick it up at whatever time you want. They deliver as well. And don't forget about their Good Sense to Go. These are great take-and-grab or grab-and-go meals. Just $5, and it's a complete meal. I keep stressing, of course, Good Sense founded right here in Lenexa, Kansas, 30 years serving Kansas City. And serving you not only with their great subs and their great pastas, but you can also now take advantage of their great meals to go, which does include their pastas, but also things like lasagna, classic pot roast, grilled Alaskan salmon, naked chicken and veggies, meatloaf. Comes with the sides as well. These are great things to take if you've got loved ones or friends or family that are either older or have compromised immune systems and can't get out, and you want to take them a whole meal, you can grab a whole bunch of them. Grab five of them, and you got a whole week's worth of meals for them. It's been huge success. People love them. Getting great feedback at Good Sense from them. So check them out. They're all $5 right now during this time of crisis. And, of course, they're selling their meats $5 a pound, their cheeses sliced freshly. That's how that works, for $5 a pound.
I figured it out.
And, yeah, I finally got there. 12-inch loaves of bread that they bake fresh twice each day. They're just 75 cents. You can get those as well. But make sure you check out those great grab-and-go meals. Good Sense to Go, GoodSenseSubs.com. Loyalty Club gives you 10% back. Make sure you're signed up for that as well. I want to thank Seth Kizer again for joining us there. You know, I loved his he picked
family
the perfect one. Yeah, his Family Guy reference is like the perfect rebuttal to, like, I always talk about people fear the unknown. Like, usually I talk about it with quarterbacks. I talk about it with Alex Smith. Like, teams, like, give too much money to quarterbacks that are just middle tier because they're terrified of the unknown. Well, if we don't pay him, who are we going to get? And my point has always been there's always a guy that's, you know, 75, 80, 90% of those quarterbacks that you can get for 30% of the price. You'll be a better team, scheme around what their strengths are, you'll be better. But the fear of the unknown drives people to overpay. And I would say that that applies a little bit because I think, you know, what Chris Jones and Aaron Donald, you're overpaying those guys. Now, I do think that they're difference makers. I do think Chris Jones is worth being, you know, paid just below Aaron Donald. I'd really prefer him to be 10, 15, 20% below Aaron Donald. But that market's been blown up, and that's how free agency always works. So if he's going to be the highest-paid defensive lineman, he's worth that based upon how free agency and inflation works in the NFL. You know, so from that standpoint, I have no problem with it. But I do think that the fear of the unknown it's not just like, oh, it could be Chris Jones. Not when you get like five shots at it, right? Signing two or three players, which we know, you know, the Chiefs could have given Marcus Peters a lot of money. Did they end up being better for letting him go, taking the draft pick, which, by the way, ended up being Juan Thornhill?
Yes.
And then having the cap space to sign Breland and go trade for Charvarius Ward. You know, didn't they end up being better with the multitude of players than they were with Marcus Peters?
Yeah, because they won the Super Bowl without Thornhill, and they'll have Thornhill back and Ward moving forward.
But during the year, they were better with him.
Yes, for sure.
Right? And they still got it done. That's my point is, yes, the fear of the unknown, but it's not a complete unknown if you trust in your team's ability to draft. And if you maximize your quantity of draft picks so you can throw numbers at the equation. I get it. There are busts. His point is a good one. Seth is the best argument against me. He does the best job of stating the case of why to sign Chris Jones. He has the best rebuttals, the best ideas, the best thoughts, the best reasoning and logic as to why signing Chris Jones is worth it, even at an exorbitant price. Now, even Seth would tell you there does come a price, like $50 million a year? No. Right? For everybody, there's a number where it gets too big. But he does a great job of stating the case. That's why I think it's important to bring him on. I just think at the end of the day, get more draft picks, right? Get more draft picks. If the Chiefs had more draft picks right now, I'd feel it'd be easier for me to say, yes, they can make it work with Chris Jones. But they've only got five, which makes it really hard.
Like they had a few years ago.
Yeah. Then at that point, I'm a lot more encouraged to say, yeah, let's sign him. Let's go there. And let's cut the other pieces that we don't need because we're going to throw 12 picks at it. We should be able to replace the things that we need to cut. With five and the volatility, he's right. The volatility and the unknown nature of draft picks, then it gets a lot harder to keep Chris Jones. That, to me, is what doesn't sync up. We'll see. Listen, I sincerely hope that, for one, a lot of reasons, but that we're at St. Joe on time and we are talking to Chris Jones. He is a great guy to talk to. And if he gets a big contract, I think he'll be back to being happy, bubbly Chris Jones all the time, which is one of the best players I've ever interviewed in the NFL, and he's a tremendous talent. I hope I'm wrong and they have this scenario worked out that they can keep him and have a great 53-man roster. I just don't want to be cutting Juan Thornhill or trading Juan Thornhill if he's the best safety in football in 2 years because we can't make the cap work. Right? That's what I don't want to see happening. 913-3810-810. We'll take a break. We come back. We'll give you some things you need to know next here in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
You know, he brings a tremendous level of enthusiasm and intensity to everything he does, even mealtime. You know, he's a fired up guy.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, a couple things you need to know on our way out the door. I love hearing this. Shinsu Chu is giving $1,000 each to about 190 players in the Rangers farm system. How awesome is that? Those minor leaguers don't make really any money at all, and he's given $1,000 to 190 players in the system. Baseball confirming also they've canceled the London series between the Cardinals and Cubs because of the pandemic, so that will not happen. Football news, Jadeveon Clowney has reportedly dropped his asking price from $20 million per year down to in the $17 to $18 million range as he has not been signed. Supposedly the Seahawks and Titans remain the most interested in signing him. And Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson working out with Antonio Brown.
What
could go wrong, right? What could? I hope he goes there. I'd like to see him torpedo the Ravens because they got a good roster. Go to the Ravens, Antonio.
WHB.